not great. And also, I could just emulate something cheaper. While it looks like an awesome device, and it's not, no slight on them. I sent the email on Sunday night, like, hey, here's the. I'd just like to cancel my order. Haven't heard back, but I did finally get, even though they said 2 or 3 days after the order, it took a week. And like, oh, hey, you're in group A, so you'll get it in Q1 of 2022. And I'm like, well, I'm still trying to cancel it. Thanks, guys. I want my $250 back, please.
Yeah, that thing gets pricey, man. It looks pretty cool, though.
Well, that's the thing. That was literally the price of just the device. I didn't even order the charger block for it. All that comes with that is the device and the Type C cable to go with it. And after taxes and shipping, it's $255.
And then eventually I saw that they had what, the Game Gear attachment, the
Game Gear adapter is out now.
Yeah.
The Lynx adapter is supposed to come out later this year, as is the Turbo graphics adapter. And sorry, and the Neo Geo Pocket.
You save your money on that because I got something even better that you're going to want to purchase.
Which is?
First
Assuming
off,
he can get his money back.
before I say that, I do want to point out that I'm festive in the background. That's green and
You
red.
are.
That's
I
green
like
and
it.
red, so that's
I didn't even think about that.
I'm glad it's red, because I'm going to be
Lynx
real
adapter.
honest,
there are literally
it looks orange
dozens
to
of
me.
games for the Lynx.
Right.
Literally dozens.
There is literally single
I mean,
digits.
for the Neo Geo Pocket Color, yes, and they're all SNK fighting games.
They're good
Shannon, I'm
games.
Glad you pointed out. Huh?
They're good games.
They are good games.
This is bonk erasure, and I will not
I didn't
tolerate
speak
it.
about TurboGrafx. That was just Neo Geo. The TurboGrafx has a ton of games.
I'm
Honestly, I'm sad I didn't get the TurboGrafx Mini
I'm
so I could mod that.
sorry. Am I the only one that thinks bonk just looks like CJ as a little person?
No,
No,
now that you said it, but I'll
Bonk
still
is
play it.
prehistoric Calvin from Calvin and Hobbes. We've been
That's
over this.
I don't like Calvin and Hobbes.
Shannon, I'm gonna
Well,
say
you don't
this.
like good things, so
Anyway,
that's fine.
I'm glad you pointed out it was red, because for a minute I thought you were doing green, white, and orange of the Irish flag, which I
Yeah,
thought
it's
was
still
odd,
orange to
but
me.
amusingly fitting.
Well, I am
Yeah.
now.
Irish Christmas.
Oh, look at
Oh,
that.
beautiful.
Look at
Look at
that.
this.
Why
Look at
don't you
this.
gonna bust out your Far Side collection next there? I'm sorry, Hunter. I love
Excuse
Far
you.
Side. I
The
love Far
fucking Far
Side.
Side is even better.
Yeah, I love
It
Far
is.
Side. Also, I have nothing against Calvin and Hobbes. It's just a personal thing. It's bad memories. Tanner, talk about your pain some more and distract them from the things I've said.
No, well, I'm just gonna show off. I've started redoing the bedroom or the new office here, so I've got new things I'm hanging up. I like that.
I like that
I like the
too. Yeah.
paper.
Yeah.
It was not supposed to come out until January, and then Walmart emailed me yesterday. And they're like, no, I'll be there tomorrow. And I was like, no, it won't. And then I got home, and they're like, yeah, no, it is, though. It's there.
Oh.
It's for you.
Those headphones
For
are as big
you.
as its head.
Yes, and that's why
What?
he goes right here among my things. So I see the Assassin's Creed flag. I see both Tommy swords. I see young Frankenstein. Sorry, Frankenstein.
Friday the 13th
And
poster, clearly.
yeah. And I'm trying to read what's in the background, like your bookshelf.
I've got my Friday
Right,
the
I thought it
13th
was in the
board
back.
game. With different lighting, you can see it, but it is the Blair Witch tabletop game
Okay.
that we've been playing. We're almost to season three now. It's crazy that is.
Wow.
I've got my Power Rangers collection continuing here.
Yep.
I've got the
I see the Morpher up front now.
I've got the Morpher there with the pops of Rita and Zordon from the movie. I've got top two Tommy figurines, one Draken, one White Tiger, and then I got my Zeo Morpher. And I've got a bunch more shit to bring up and add to it, so I'm working on it.
Really
I
quick.
have
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
NBA Jam and abandoned bookshelf, where there are now more books on the floor of my room than there are on the bookshelf, because room and space.
I also have NBA Jam
You
back
do?
there and Ninja Turtles. And I blur my background so you cannot see the giant collection that I have here, because I didn't want to look like Lindsay, because I didn't want to look like a dick in the yard and just steal her gimmick.
Dick in the yard.
What I'd like to do,
sequel to
Dick in
that,
the yard.
what I'd like to do eventually is transfer this into my bedroom, and I have this gigantic blank wall in my bedroom, and I want to put up like a almost like a news studio style backdrop with like the world or something, or maybe just green screen it, and then I can put whatever I want back there. But yeah. I'm thinking of moving my studio because I just don't want to look like Lindsay's. Lindsay's got it. She's got this cool setup, and I know ours aren't completely the same, but like, yeah, we have the same concept. Also, what I was saying earlier, Cody, you save your money on the analog, and instead, you buy the 8-disc Ghostbusters collection coming out in February, I believe.
Yeah, that's it. That's what you do.
That's a lot.
Okay. My favorite part of that is that it includes everything but 2016.
That's fine.
There it is.
That's fine.
I was waiting for it.
But it does include the much sought after book Making Ghostbusters that has been so out of print that it's impossible to get a hold of. It's a reproduction of it. Two discs per movie, plus two random discs. We don't know what they are. I'm assuming some kind of behind the scenes thing. All in 4K. All right.
Just two random blank discs.
It's probably 2016. They're just bootleg DVDs that say like Ghostbusters the bad one.
It's all the storyboards for Ghostbusters Go to Hell.
Right. It's the game.
Give me behind the scenes for something that we don't already have them for. Although I guess if there's two discs per movie, you probably already got behind the scenes. At least one of those should be like select episodes of the real Ghostbusters. That's what I would like.
Even though
I think I have the set.
That's the thing, and that's why I was going to ask. Does the 5-volume set include all the episodes? Because if so, I think I've got that covered.
I think
I've got the set too. So
admittedly, I haven't made it to 4 and 5, which I assume are Slimer and the real Ghostbusters, and which I'm less interested in.
Cody, let me tell you. Let me.
They're putting that stuff on YouTube now. That's why I didn't want the DVD.
Let me reveal something to you, Cody, as well, and that is that the real Ghostbusters cartoon really isn't that good. It's okay.
I mean,
there are moments.
There's select episodes.
There are moments, yeah.
This is why I said select episode. I don't want the whole thing.
One of my favorite episodes from there, the Collect Call of Cthulhu. It was just a fantastic episode. First time I ever heard about Cthulhu. The episode where they show why they wear the different outfits now. They actually had a storyline reason for why they wear the different outfits, which I thought was
pretty
cool.
It was the first episode.
I'm about to say it was one of the early ones at least.
It's in the first season, but it's like it's a couple episodes back because it's a flashback episode. Mm-hmm. Lindsay, I know you're pale as a ghost, but that doesn't mean you know everything.
I'm trying to get rid of the paleness, but
in that hole.
It's not helping.
Now that I know this
dig
exists.
Dig a hole. That's the way to do it.
It's my dick in a hole.
No, in the yard.
Dick in a hole, babe.
That was the yard.
Dick in the yard.
It's my dick in the yard.
I'm glad Hunter continued that because I started singing it and I just let it go.
Well, so now that I know this exists, I need to get a 4K Blu-ray player so I can actually watch it. Because that's the reason I didn't buy the most recent 4K Ghostbusters releases.
Cody, I have a suggestion for you.
Is it called Xbox?
Just get a console newer than 1994.
That's right.
That's an idea.
I mean, I almost bought an Xbox One this weekend so I could finally have that one.
I like to apologize for my toxic behavior. Also, you could just buy Kaz's. He's done with it.
Cody, how do you feel about PlayStations?
I mean, I enjoy my 4. In fact, I'm just finished Blaster Master.
Wait,
Zero,
no, hold on. Hold on.
Japan was sending some.
Did this motherfucker just say, I got to get something to play 4K movies, but you have a PS4?
No, I have a standard PS4 which doesn't. Only the PS4 Pro has a 4K player, and I don't think it does playback. Yeah. I think it's just streaming. That was the whole bit with the Xbox One.
Really?
X. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's weird.
Yeah. Do you not remember that? The One X was the first one that started running 4K.
With the 4K.
Oh, man. I guess it's been so long. I assumed all of the last-gen systems did.
We didn't buy a 4K, because I remember the first 4K disc that we bought was Thor Ragnarok, and that was right around the time that the One X came out.
Well, God bless you, One X.
God bless you, boy. I love that console, man. I mean, I like my Series X and all, don't get me wrong, but like, there's not often I can tell a huge difference between the two.
The easiest way for me to tell the difference is, especially when you're going through menus and going back to the home screen and stuff like that, it's so fast. It's just
fast.
Lightning fast.
Yeah. And the loading's fast. But yeah, it's just the visual. There's almost no... There's some difference.
Well, so
but not a huge difference.
It really helps on the older games. Like you could play Fallout 76 at 60 FPS on the series, but not on the original. You like stuff like that. That's where the real power really shines through.
That's the power of the X.
That's the power of the X.
Honestly, part of the reason I was looking for an Xbox One X before everything stopped being manufactured was to get it as a 4K player, because I was going to put it in the living room with the PS4, play the Xbox One catalog that I never touched, and then also have a way to do that. Because I only have a 4K TV in the house, so for me at this point, it's not the fidelity of the picture. It would be more being capable of playing the discs. And let's be honest, the whole reason I wanted the 4K Ghostbusters was so that I could have the scene at the fort, because that's never been fully released in any of the other releases.
I have a 4K TV in every room. That's the
that's
important
not
thing.
True.
Well, there's not one in the bathroom.
Yet. Mine's not a 4K
Yet.
One, is it?
Yes. You got
it
a Roku.
Is?
Yeah.
Okay.
I had so many 4K TVs that when Allie moved out, I gave her one. I said, just take one. Pick which 4K TV you want and take it. That's a gift.
Drowning in 4K.
I'm drowning in 4K. Kaz in the chat is bragging on his Xbox S, and you should, because it's a good
That's
system.
Correct.
I love the S Series S. It's
That's
great.
Also correct.
Yeah.
Emulation Station Extreme.
It's just so like I could take it to the store. It's just so light and little. Now they're making a screen attachment for it. You plug into the back. And it's like a laptop. The screen folds up. It powers from the Xbox, so you don't have to have an external power supply. And it's all in one. It looks amazing. I kind of want it.
Oh, yeah? Yeah, what about this, though?
Oh.
You got one of these?
Look at that.
Oh, yeah?
Is that a Squirtle sleeping on top of it?
It is.
That's just the little Friends TV I showed you guys. But, yeah, this is the Squirtle out of that Pokeball. The Pokeball finally just shattered, so I was like, nah, I'll keep this guy, though.
Oh, yeah, Hunter? Well, what does this say?
So on the shelf, he just sits there.
Was that the one?
I don't
that was
know.
A
it's
little,
it's
like,
white.
Diorama?
There you go.
No, no, it says "Friend sucks."
Oh, the poor.
You know,
boy.
I would have agreed at one point in time, but my wife has made me sit down and watch it, and I can't agree anymore.
Well, that's cool. Hunter came to his own decision based on his preferences. You came to a decision based on your wife's preferences. So, congratulations.
No, no. She asked me to sit down and watch a couple episodes with her, and I was immediately hooked.
Shannon, remind me, when are you getting that Lego set for the NBC Nightly News with Brian Donaldson?
Brian,
are they making that soon? Or
oh my God, you butchered all of the names. It's like you can go.
That was the goal.
Bryant Gumbel, Brian Williams. Oh.
Wait. If it doesn't have Lester Holt,
triggered,
it's not worth
it. Oh,
shit.
You mad?
I want to apologize.
Hold on. I got a thing for this. I don't give a shit about Bryant Gumbel.
I want to apologize to Tanner for my toxic behavior earlier.
Yeah, Shannon, I just need to know like where you were 2 hours ago, because you still never answered that question.
David, I was...
His Facebook has been jacked up.
I was really hoping Tanner was going to ask, yeah, Shannon, I just want to know where your wife is. And then
I am not a monster. What the fuck,
that would have been that would have been his equivalent if I make Brian Gumbel look like Malcolm X, huh?
It was Tanner!
Oh, God damn it.
It really does hurt
it
to laugh.
Moaning.
My sinuses are a mess right now, and laughing just hurts.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
well, don't worry. We'll start the show soon, and all joy will be gone.
Here. Jesus Christ.
Suck the joy out of it.
We just, Shannon just ignoring my joke.
What, you're insinuating that I'm a killer? I would tell you if I've killed people. I would be proud of it. I've done it before, and I've said it. So, all right. Let's start the show. Then we can play the Call of Duties.
Yes. Yeah, it's time for some Vanguard.
I'm all,
you still don't have your Xbox One, do you?
I'm all antsy. No, I do. I never... Kat, or Zach was supposed to grab it, and he never did. So I had it sitting on a table the other day waiting for him. He never came. And I was supposed to drop it off to him today, and I forgot. So...
That's unfortunate. Well, I guess it's not unfortunate. It's fortunate for you.
I'm antsy.
That's good news. What are you antsy about?
I don't know. I haven't had whiskey in weeks.
That's not true.
I keep the bottle here just to remind me.
Oh, Wild Turkey, that's your problem.
I got the daughter in the clinic getting cured off the Wild Turkey.
Oh, shit, Hunter.
Hunter,
I found Lindsay a gift today that is going to... It's spectacular. I'm going to message you and tell you what it is, because I think...
Okay.
This is what I found. All right.
This thing is not conducive to wearing a t-shirt.
All right,
He can do what it wants.
He's traveling south. Well,
he's not getting away anyway, so that's good.
Since
he's like the Yosling character on Price is Right.
That is a real thing that I found.
Yeah, that's I approb.
Yeah.
I approb. I like that. It's kind of commemorative too.
Right. It's very, very topical. It's... Yeah. Let's see if I can find a picture
functional
of it.
And fashionable.
And I'll send it to you.
And Tanner left.
It's okay. Hunter, I got I'm you something here. Completely stupid that I hope you just crack up over. So
I'm doing the whole show like this, by the way.
There you go.
I'm just going to leave him there.
Hunter, you just reminded me that I have yet to watch Christmas Vacation this holiday season, and it is a failure, and I'm ashamed of.
I haven't watched any Christmas things other than SNL this year.
That is not
true.
We watched Muppet Family Christmas.
That's true.
We watched Christmas Vacation. We watched both Home Alone. What else? White Christmas. We knocked that one out too.
I put White Christmas on in the background while I worked on art stuff this weekend.
Have you watched Emmett Otter yet?
Not yet.
We watched the outtakes.
I love Emmett Otter. Yes, we did watch the outtakes, the 200 plus takes of them trying to get the drum to do the little
thump. Right.
Hooligans is what they are. Probably those River Bottom boys.
Who are we, Ma? I don't care.
Cody, it's the silent majesty of winter's morn. Fresh fallen snow on the front lawn. And an asshole in his bathrobe emptying a chemical sewer into my toilet. Or a chemical sewer toilet into my sewer. Ah. You checked our shitters, Cody?
They're full. Shitters are full. Oh, see, now I wish we could do a show on Friday night because I've got the hat. We could do the bit.
Friday night.
Well, we're going to be the happiest.
Oh, which bit?
Happiest.
I mean, there'd be... There's a lot of bits.
There are.
We still got to do the skit where Tom Turkey becomes Christmas Tom.
Goody Tom Turkey. We can do it.
Gee willikers. I hadn't thought of it like that, Mr. Turkey.
I know how it's going to start. So I need two people, Hunter and another person, as Tom Turkey introduces them. And they're like, oh, Tom Turkey, what are you doing? And he explains. And then they just go, yeah, you need to get out of here. Shannon's coming in like the next 5-10 minutes. And as soon as I show up, Tom Turkey just goes, ah, oh, shit. Hey, hey, Turkey. Where's my Christmas miracle? And then he shoots me in the face.
Come in with a lead pipe.
So there you go.
I just hit him. Where's my Christmas miracle,
Where's my Christmas miracle, man? Motherfucker.
Where is it, man? Where's my money?
Wait, who did the voice of...
You got money to
you.
Buy free cats.
You were Tom Turkey.
Well, shows how much I pay attention.
Never mind. Skit's canceled. Skit's canceled.
You said the famous catchphrase.
Gobble,
remember?
Gobble. Goddamn. I wrote it, to be fair. But he brought us...
He brought
us
to life.
He brought a spirit.
You did write it.
Yeah.
But, everything that he didn't do with Alex Trebek, he did do with Tom Turkey.
That's fair.
Oh, that hurt. That's the word.
It's like the part was written for me.
Well, gobble gobble.
God damn. I got to head out. I got to come up with a new catchphrase for him. If he'll remember, in 3 weeks, if he'll remember that he did it.
There it is. There's the finger. Go. All right, it's 8 o'clock. Y'all ready to do this? Apparently not. Tanner's over there.
You could talk about it while you're watering.
He was in the back.
You're watering your plants with your friends, talking about botany.
I understood that reference.
Thank you.
This thing feels like it is threatening to take my shirt with it in any second. I don't know if I care for this. This is a lot.
It would be the second cast character to have a shirtless screenshot saved for moments like this.
Nope. No, I will not.
I have.
No, I will not.
I have nudes of myself. Message me.
Nah, I appreciate the one that I have. Which, by the way, for whatever reason, I saved in my Star Wars Saga Edition folder. So now I have just two images in this folder, which is Pony Show with Shannon and Cody with bad internet from the one from Sunday.
Oh, I like that he saved the picture.
Well, I was going
to repost
it,
in case
he
has to use it against me.
Yeah, it's right there.
I was going to say, it's still there.
I'm going to send it to the Plays chat so you can check it out at any time.
Thank you.
That one right there.
I mean, I saved it in my own computer. It's the size of a postage stamp, and I do love it. I'm going to tile it as my background, like Windows 95.
Kaz wants to...
It's a bunch of me's.
Kaz wants us to write the bird in as a character tonight.
The porg?
Tom Turkey? I don't know if I can do that.
Tom Turkey's just sitting out there on a moon rock, jacking
it.
Moon rock.
I mean, we did end with a cliffhanger. We don't know who this new character is. That can be Tom
it's
Turkey.
It's the naked mole Wookie.
Roses are red. Violets are blue. Moons can have their own moons. And they're called moon moons.
Bye.
I like the old Cyclops Valentine. Roses are red, violets are red, everything's red, fuck.
Before we start, that reminds me, one of the last things I saw before I came in here, I was just scrolling through random Tumblr shit, and one of them was basically just talking about not emailing your professors when you're in college, like when you're sick, especially if you're on medication. And one of them goes, No, I disagree. I have a great version of this story because I emailed a professor one time when I had a migraine and I was on Mucinex, and it basically just said, "Hello, sorry, I will not be at choir today. I hope you have a very, and I am sorry, love, Blue." And they said the best part was the subject line was just in all caps, "Ow." Their professor responded with no line in the subject, "You good?" And that was it.
No.
That was the whole thing. I'll be right back. Take my
word for it. When I was in college, Lindsay, you remember Vina, right?
Uh-huh. The mousy one.
Yeah, I was dating this girl named Vina. And Kaz, you remember Vina, right? Anyway, I broke up with her through email because we got in a fight. And I'm like, I don't want to do this anymore. So I also didn't want to say it to her face because I, you know, coward. So I broke up with her through email, and she called me the next day and was just like, "Hey, do you want to go to the movies or something tonight?" And I said, "Did you read the email I sent you?" She's like, "No, I haven't." She's like, "I haven't looked at it yet." And I was like, "Okay." Well, at that point, I changed my mind. So I was like, "I need you to do me a favor. Delete that email and never read it." I'm pretty sure she read it. I would have.
Probably.
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah. Anyway.
These things have a way of happening, unfortunately.
Anyway, have a good night, guys.
I'm good. Let's do the thing.
Yeah.
Sit still.
Bones.
God.
Feathers.
Bones.
I can't take a shot at me, even though my guy's bling.
Quick,
he might be taking a
contest. Go.
Might be taking a shot at me. He wins.
No, he wins.
He always does.
Mm. He always does.
And you know,
I'm gonna make him look at me.
Another ninja.
Another porg.
Couldn't handle it. Yeah, we're going to have to do a Christmas show, probably. Just get on here. Let's all drink. That's it.
I could do Thursday. I mean,
that's Christmas.
No.
That's right before.
It's
Christmas
it's
enough.
Christmas. I'm not.
That,
I ain't
that
doing
depends
Christmas
on whether
Eve.
Or not
that
we
ain't
go
happening.
To the
I got too much
tomorrow
shit going
or Thursday.
On. Christmas Eve, Christmas Day. Yeah, I could do Thursday, but Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, I'm tied up.
Thursday sounds good, or Christmas Day.
I got another
one or the other.
I got things tied in. What does Charles Barkley say? Formal music tied in.
I'm serious, dude.
Don't do that again. All right.
Hunter, have you ever seen the skit? Have you seen the NBA on TNT skit or whatever, where Charles Barkley plays? I think Charles Barkley plays Shaq, and Kenan Thompson plays Charles Barkley, and they portray Shaq as just the slowest, most dim-witted person in the world. It's very funny.
I don't know who pissed off Shaq there, or who got pissed off by Shaq, but yeah.
Oh my God!
He made somebody mad.
He made some enemies that day.
He did.
Terrible.
It's true.
It's terrible.
It's terrible.
All right. On with the Star Wars.
Y'all ready?
We ready. Oh,
right,
shit.
Let's do the thing.
For a second there, Tanner was a cone.
Gate.
That got Tanner. He's done. He's done.
He can't handle it.
He can't.
Tanner, take that do-rag off of your head.
I've heard of Crips and Bloods, but I never heard of the Oranges.
Y'all give me a second, damn. I can't do shit while I'm laughing, fuckers.
What are you trying to do? Where did you find a head-sized condom?
Oh, Hunter, I've heard of this. I've never seen it before. He's got titty head.
Often imitated, never duplicated. And he's gone. How to bully your friends away from the tabletop game.
Yep.
Pig Pen.
He muted his mic, and I'll tell you why. It's because he's laughing, shit. But he doesn't want us to know.
Doesn't want to give us the satisfaction.
Here he comes. There he is. Uh-huh. I know better. He tried to fuck on me.
Where's that orange head?
I'm still trying to figure out what he thought was going to happen when he put that on camera.
I think he thought we were
all just going to go, yeah, this is normal.
We were just going to go, damn, that's badass.
I'm so tired.
There it is. The Karate Kid.
Looks like he's about to play in the rec league. I don't know what that means, man. I don't know.
Oh. You know those old guys who like always are in, you know, in their 30s trying to relive their glory days, so they still go out and try to play with the high school kids and they get their asses handed to them?
Well, that's you, right?
No, but it sounds like you do.
Right.
This sounds like a personal story, man. Your experiences are not universal.
Yeah, I never had glory days to reenact. I stopped playing with teenagers when I was a teenager because I was also bad.
I stopped playing with teenagers when the law got involved.
I was say, there's a quote in there somewhere, but it hadn't happened yet. There it is.
I'm trying to blast right past it.
We're sitting here ragging on Tanner, but I get it, man. When I'm playing a hard game of Star Wars, that sweat gets in my eyes, too. Like, I like to be able to keep it away from... I gotta go. I have to leave now.
Look, I just want my damn hair out of my face. It keeps falling down, so just I need something to hold it. Looking up. The back of the band holding the hair in, and then...
I like how the Porg looks like he's constantly judging me for my decisions.
You judge him, Porg.
You need to put him on Tanner's shoulders, because Tanner looks like the Young Buck's uncle.
The old Buck.
Old Buck.
Uncle Buck.
Uncle Buck!
Uncle Buck! I did it. We did it.
Here's a quarter. Go downtown and get somebody to, or get a rat to gnaw that thing off your face.
Wait, guys, we missed it. No, he's Uncle Buckett. Holy shit.
Uncle Bucket.
Oh, shit.
Lindsay, draw it. Uncle Bucket.
Buckets of fun. And
he's
he
just gone completely.
I don't make a note God. Of it.
I couldn't
Lindsay
pass
has
that
a list
up.
That looks
I'm
like Jericho's stage. List of moves of things that need to be drawn.
It's like college.
Number one, armbar.
It's Colin Joe's list of Jews. He's making a list, and he's checking it twice.
Good work, boys.
And
oh, my eyes are red.
And the cans themselves became trash. Take us away, boys.
What'd you say, Chief?
You know how close I got to putting that into the old fucking group chat until like a week and a half later, you resurrected it by telling me about the PS5 shells.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm not kidding
point,
you. I had deleted that chat. It wasn't even on my phone. And it popped incredible. Up, and I was like, what the hell is this?
Who are these people?
It's the first thing in a long time I've had. I was like, this might be relevant to more than just one person, so I'll share.
Oh, no, it's worse.
How does this keep devolving?
If he takes his shirt off, he's going to look like one of those Elmer glue things.
I wish you would have stayed, because if we could have started the show that way, I would 100% have said, and the sweet potato himself, Tanner Coward.
The canned yam himself.
Whoa!
You,
oh!
Don't
oh!
you do it!
Oh. Boy, if you guys aren't watching us live on Facebook, you are missing out.
You're very confused. God, also, this is clearly Green Man's nemesis. Orange face.
Orange dude.
Orange face. Ah, fighter of the green face.
I like Tanner's. I like Tanner's Donald Trump costume.
For fuck.
He just needs some hair. You can glue it on like Donald Trump does. All right, let's do the show. I don't like that he's threatening me with a lightsaber. It bothers me. All right.
God, what a mess.
Okay.
This whole show is going up, by the way, from start to finish. Yeah. I'm not editing out anything.
The actual episode is going to be short. Like,
yeah.
We'll be done by like 9:30.
This is the Christmas spectacular. Yeah.
This is the Star Wars Christmas special.
It's Life Day.
It works. God.
Yep. You can watch The Faithful Wookiee on Disney Plus.
We're keeping the what?
Oh.
The Faithful Wookiee.
It's the unfaithful Wookiee. It's the animated short from the Star Wars Christmas special.
You know what I'd rather watch from this Christmas special? Boba Fett's debut and all the bad commercials.
No, that's what it is.
That's what it's called? The Unfaithful Wookiee?
The Faithful Wookiee.
Hang on, I gotta go to the group chat and rename somebody the Unfaithful Wookiee.
I need you to add Cody to the group chat and then name him the Unfaithful Wookiee. That's something I can do. Yeah.
Oh.
So now it's just like the old group chat, except no Dalton, and we added Steven, Zach, and Bob.
There's Cody.
The Unfaithful Wookiee.
There he is. And edit nicknames.
Yep.
The Unfaithful Wookiee. And it's done.
Yes. Welcome.
Super Frenchy. Okay, cool.
Welcome, brother.
And now I can really delete the old group chat.
Yep. Done and done. Don't tell anybody, even though I'm saying this live. I'm probably going to remove myself from that one, too.
Which, the new one or the old one?
As the new one goes, so who's going to be titty head? Hey, hang on. I have the perfect response for that. Hold up.
Wait.
Turns out it's going to be Cass.
There it is.
Tanner, please.
And answered. There we go.
Oh, let's start the show, man. We got to get this.
Please.
Got to get this going.
We got to do it. You ready?
Yeah.
Sure.
Help me in.
All right.
That tea.
All right, here we go. The count of... there went Tanner. Five.
He just left.
Four. Three.
Ladies and gentlemen, good evening and welcome to another edition of PZ85 Plays. I am your Game Master Double H, and a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, we bring you the Star Wars Dawn of Defiance Christmas special.
Yeah!
Oh, man. Let me introduce your cast, as always, beginning with the co-owner and creator of Podzilla 1985, playing Harani Tar, is Shannon Young.
The biggest fan of Naptime Donkeys.
We've also got our Bothan spy, Iris Nay, played by Lindsay Wolfgang.
This is going to go well.
She looks like snow.
The man himself, Tanner Calvert, playing Sigurd Talon.
Yeah, he's here.
Hey, I was going to say the thing. Oh, he had to turn the mic on.
Oh.
And finally, playing Cruz Cog Zubain is Cody Sandusky.
I am Unfaithful Wookiee Boy.
The Unfaithful Wookiee.
I don't know if I want him on our team now.
Give you a hard time.
The Unfaithful Wookiee sounds like a bar we're going to go to during these adventures.
Yep. Yeah, that's accurate. Oh. If you think I haven't already written it down and I will not be revisiting it, you don't know me very well at this point.
That's right.
So here's the deal. If you missed our most recent episode, I don't blame you because we played at 10 o'clock on a Saturday night. What you need to know is that our good friends, the Midnight Coterie, have invaded Prak City, Detroit Prak City, on the city of Praketh. They are on the planet of Praketh. They are in the hunt for Jedi Master Denia at the Citadel Inquisitorius. They found several different leads that have possibly led them to get inside that place. But in the meantime, they do finally have someone to give their ship the inspection that it needs in Jack Sejo. Part of the problem that they've encountered since they've been here, as a matter of fact. He has been a problematic person since then. At the end of that episode, after a run-in with some Compnor agents, or thugs, really, is what they are, and some of the... Sorry, my nose is dripping like crazy. Some of the Imperial security, they camped out in what is basically his hovel. As everyone was asleep, Kruskog noticed that someone was moving through the shadows. He finally encountered this creature, tall as a Wookiee, moving with about as much grace, but a very sort of ruddy-skinned thing, like a naked mole rat Wookiee to an extent, which cowered actually in terror from Kruskog, who is significantly smaller than him.
Right.
The thing responded to him saying, you, and it's clearly broken basic that he's trying to speak. He says, you helped the green man. You will help Starib. You help me. And that's where we ended our last episode. For the record, because you guys have not completed an entire rest as of yet, Graz is out of points. Hirani's got a couple of force points. Iris has 3. Sigurd has 2. Kruskog's still sitting at 4. And everybody but Hirani has a destiny point.
Well, first thing first, I want to use force point recovery.
Okay.
I just randomly use it, apparently, so...
Destiny
Are
recovery.
Are you not asleep?
Yeah, I was going to say, you're sleeping, man.
Am I? Mean, no.
Unless you're not. But
well, I mean, just generally, force point recovery is at the end of... force point recovery is at the end of an encounter, you automatically recover 1 force point spent during the encounter. So I was just going to add it back.
Yeah, so I should be at 3.
Okay. That's something I can do.
Yeah, okay. And I'll just put myself at 5. Didn't use 1 from that one, so I guess.
Wait, so you get it back even if you don't use 1 in that one?
All the rule says is at the end of an encounter, you automatically... No, you're right. Yeah, no, I misspoke. Yeah, at the end of the encounter, you automatically recover 1 force point spent during the encounter.
I was going to say, it would have. To, I would think it would have to be 1 you spent.
That makes more sense.
He said 5, and I went, wait a minute.
Nope, well, I didn't use 1.
You guys can be at a maximum of 5, you two.
Yeah, we can.
Yeah, no. Okay.
But I didn't use 1.
So... Unless there is any further ado, that is where we're going to pick up, just right from that very moment. Kruskog, you have this creature cowering in terror. Terror is a little strong. He's clearly fearful, though, of you. I'll find you a picture so you can have an idea of what you're looking at.
Oh, I don't know if I want to see a naked Wookiee.
Oh, it'll be fun.
But anyway, let me know what you'd like to do as I'm doing that.
I mean, admittedly, at first, Kruskog is going to think in the back of his mind, well, helping Green Man didn't really help us very much.
Green
but
Man!
Seeing as here we are.
Sorry.
He will, despite maybe what would be better judgment on the dark streets of Prax City, is going to say, we'll kind of beckon to the creature quietly. Cijo.
Oh, it's...
You are familiar with him.
It's Jason Statham.
Sure.
It's just the Rock with no neck.
He, again, his basic is really limited. You can tell he's basically just kind of mimicking words that he has heard. But he says something to the effect of, like, not know, see. And it seems like he's trying to convey he doesn't really know Cijo, he just saw what happened.
Okay.
Yeah, he is aware that you guys helped someone who was being attacked. And it that's about as far as his knowledge of that goes. He's looking for help, and you seem to be offering it.
Okay. And with that in mind, I will quietly, I'll kind of put up whatever the universal word is for quiet and kind of beckon him toward the shelter in which we're staying.
Okay. Yeah, he'll follow. He whereas a Wookiee tends to kind of stand tall and proud most of the time, unless they're kind of doing that loping gait, the very kind of Bigfoot walk. These guys are much more, or this one anyway in particular, is much more like Igor, yes, master, like kind of limping along in a way. He might actually be hurt. It's not really clear. He doesn't win, so he's in any pain or anything. Maybe it's an old injury, or maybe he's just trying to stay as low as he can. It's pretty clear that whereas a Wookiee kind of treats their size and power as a good thing, this guy's not real keen on the fact that he's super visible at all times. So, take that for what you will.
Yeah, then I will, again, kind of beckon him toward this shelter, and probably once we get him, or I get him inside, we'll ask something to that effect. If he's seemingly kind of slumped over, are you in need of assistance, healing, are you in pain? Is there any way we can help you in the immediate sense? Can you tell me anything about you? You know, probably just Cruise going at this point, just trying to gain all pertinent information immediate to the moment.
Okay. He's not injured. He'll tell you that much, that he's not hurt. He gives no clear explanation as to why he moves the way that he does or anything like that, but he's not hurt. Not physically, anyway. What he tries to kind of get across in general is that he has been lost in Metal Place for many days. And that's really the most that he can convey in that moment. You can see his eyes are still kind of darting around, like he's constantly aware of his surroundings and concerned about them, too. I'm listening. Now,
in lack of an option to, I don't know if persuade is what I necessarily need to do in this moment, but some way try to convey to him that you needn't be worried in this immediate moment. As far as we are aware, this is a safe place. There is nobody of the Empire within this room. You are okay to be more at ease. I can't promise long-term protection, but for the time being, I believe you to be in a safe place.
Yeah, make a persuasion check.
Okay. Thank you, Force Persuasion. So let's see if the Force roll works well tonight.
Yeah! Bill, come back.
Yes, right, port 3.
You dropped your Porg, King.
Rest in power, Porg. All
right.
Yeah, good work, vaccination.
You say 33?
33. Yeah, because I have Force Persuasion, so I use the Force check.
Okay. He seems to relax a little bit, like, at the sound of your voice. It's very calming. You know, like you said, you're very much trying to convey a sense of calm and safety. He does kind of settle back. He does that thing where he, like, settles back, heels on the ground, with his, like, hands kind of just hugging his knees, just kind of up against the wall. Okay. He's still pretty guarded, but at the same time, it seems like he feels relatively comfortable in yours and whoever else's presence in there. So, if there's, like, specific questions you have for him, he looks like he's open to answering them.
Yeah, I'll probably, in the chaos of the moment, ask his name again and kind of hopefully... you've said you've been in Metal Place for multiple days. Do you mean underground? Do you mean in the mines? Do you just mean on this planet?
He explains that his name, as best he can convey it, he makes like a guttural sort of sound that is unpronounceable. He says to the best that he can describe it in your language, however he chooses to say that, it's pronounced Herdtui.
Herdtui, okay.
Herdtui. And he kind of gives like a distinction between the two. So it's Herdtui. He says that he is of the Sterib. Sterib. So Sterib appears to be the group that he is with, or his people, or something like that.
Okay.
Did you say you asked where he came from?
Yeah, because he said he was in Metal Place for multiple days, just trying to gain some elaboration. Does that mean, like, underground, in a mining facility? Because obviously we kind of know there are mines around this planet.
Yeah. In terms of where, if the phrase, where did you come from, comes up, he says, from Praketh, from inside, where the vital air and fluids nourish the world flesh.
This planet, Praketh, you say you come from inside of it.
Yes.
Okay. Kruskog starts to have a few more questions about... you talk about it feeding the world flesh. Kruskog, of course, hearing something feeding a planet, starts to think something akin to the Force. But at least to his immediate perception, maybe fogged by the Empire, maybe whatever, hasn't really found or felt something that tethering beyond the initial feeling of knowing Master Dinia is here somewhere. So that's going to... admittedly put him on his heels a bit, so he's probably going to ask a little bit more toward what is this internal part of the planet? What do you mean this inside Praketh? What is this place of which you speak?
He just refers to it as home. But to further elaborate, he says something to the effect of, I saw the holes where the parasites were fouling our caverns with their filth. I followed the hidden water's flow upward and found a passage to this place. But Praketh was weak, and the footing crumbled.
Okay. So, I think Truskog should have some ability to put two and two together in terms of calling parasites. I mean, we've called the Empire a few worse things. He's probably thinking something toward these mines being the holes that are being carved in the planet. So his, I guess the next thought would be, so you see these mines, this operation to be harmful to Praketh. What has brought you to the surface, and do you wish to go back to your home?
He says, yes, I want to go home, to return before it is too late. You cannot leave them untended. You must help me reach what I hear them call the drains. He said, the pits they have drilled reach to my home, but I know what awaits below now. I fear to go alone, but with you, perhaps. And he kind of lets that drift off.
Mm-hmm. And Kruskog is going to admittedly probably, at this point, not to speak for the team, is going to want to find somebody. And the next shift, I think we talked about, it was going to be, yep. So he's going to reach over to our Boffin spy friend and kind of shake Iris me up. Iris, do not be alarmed. We have a visitor whose intent seems to be pure, or at least of fear and needing assistance. I need somebody to join me in this conversation. I fear as though we may not know as much about this place as we thought.
Hertui kind of peeks his head around, because, I mean, there's not that much space in here, so you guys are pretty well jammed on top of each other. And to Iris, very pointedly says, I saw you. I saw you help the green man against the people who chased him and me. You are not of them. Perhaps you are of the stone.
Of the stone?
Kruskog's gonna look at you and give a shrug. He's lost on that phrase, but all right.
Is this one of the supposed natives that we heard about at the bar?
I'll give her a little bit of a lowdown and with Herb Tui. I'm saying that right?
Yes.
All right. Yeah, with Herb Tui nearby, I'll probably kind of go through a little bit of that elaboration of what he has said thus far, hopefully to kind of bridge the gap between the broken basic and speaking to Iris, like, says he's from inside the planet where the world flesh is fed. I'm kind of damn it, ooh. I knew you were going to do it to me as soon as I said Herb.
It's Herd.
I'm
Herd. Yeah, Herd. Yeah. I wrote it down.
Do the story, Herb.
I'll show you the world flesh.
No, Herd.
It wouldn't be the first time we got sidetracked helping natives.
Oh, but especially in a volatile situation such as this, if there's anybody that would be willing to assist us in repelling what's here, it may not be the worst idea.
Yeah, that would be my bet, and I really don't think anyone else is gonna, like, say, no, we need to just go do this.
And then shall we wake the others and alert them to this potential new endeavor?
Yeah.
All right.
We should probably do that.
Yeah. So with Herd Tui, I'll kind of caution him to maybe give a brief oversight of the group. Obviously, introduce him to Iris, our relative spy, our scout, our stealthy one. The others I'm going to awake are maybe less welcoming at times, but do understand that they have good intentions, I believe, to be helpful alongside. And I'll probably go one by one. I'll leave Sprainard for last, but I'll probably go Sigurd, then Harani.
Harani's snoring. She snores.
Yeah, well, I better start a kettle of tea then.
So you're going to tell us about the information that you've gathered so far?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, kind of in the same way with Iris, I will awake you with kind of the subtle information that we have a visitor. They seem to be of good intent. He tells us he's from inside the planet. And let's go over some more of the finer details.
I feel like Harani would wake up like Frank walking into the bar. She just aims her blaster and like, where's the goddamn fire? You know, that's... She...
Would she be that coherent? Tracks.
She's out there.
My question is, after hearing this, does he think these stones or this planet is living in some way, like actually living, whether it be the planet or the stones or something else?
It's not that he thinks it, it's that he knows it.
I'm about to say.
The planet lives.
He lives there.
Like any planet, like any living thing. Look at what grows from it. Look at what flows from within it.
Okay.
The planet lives.
So, just as a shot in the dark, just because I'm curious, and I've been curious about this, the more Sigurd's been more curious about this, the more he hears about these stones that are being mined off this planet. His backup lightsaber, his secondary that he doesn't use anymore. Well, you know, he doesn't have it, so. Okay. Most lightsabers have a port where you can just kind of open it up and show the kyber crystal inside of it. Would I be able to do that and show it to this person, to Hartui?
Herb Tui. Oh, God, Herb.
Yeah, you can. Normally, I'd make you make a mechanics check to open it up, but since you're not under any kind of pressure, you can just take 10 on that.
Yeah, I want to be able to open it up, just have the crystal there so he can see it and say, is this some of the things? Is this one of the crystals as you... Or one of the stones you say is part of the planet?
He looks at it and he like kind of like ET style, like he kind of reaches out to touch it. It's very slow. It gets his like kind of it's not a gnarled finger, but it's kind of that ruddy, you know, skinny complexion. He gets near it and then he doesn't like pull away. He just comes back and says, "Your stone is very powerful. It is not of this place."
Okay. Well, that... Harani, I'll look back and share with my teammates. Well, we're not looking at a kyber crystal mining situation going on here.
Harani is going to pull out her lightsaber and say, well, hell, I got one of those. And she's trying to open it, but has no idea how. So she's just kind of hitting against the wall. And then she just like...
Sigurd walks up, grabs the saber, like puts his hand on it and just lowers it carefully. Put that thing away.
She shrugs and puts it away.
Please don't beat the wall with your weapon. That's very dangerous for both. Okay, so we're not dealing with a kyber crystal mining operation, but it must be something of... Out of character, I'm kind of extrapolating this to my Final Fantasy VII. Like, the life force flowing through the planet is kind of what I'm feeling right now in terms of this character story.
That's the way he describes it. Yeah,
hold on,
that's literally what it is. That's how he describes it.
Let me get some background music going here. You can hear the cry of the planet. I'll play it in the background.
Yeah, see?
Better play that Mega Ran.
Oh!
You're damn right. Anyway.
You're damn right.
Oh, you Jedi and your life stream and your life forces and your life this and your life that... It's very clear that it's the Empire. They're digging. We're going to go stop them, right? We're going to shoot them. That's what we do now, right? Why are we talking about it? Let's shoot them. She fakes the blasters. It goes zoop, zoop. Come on.
You made it weird with her tweet. He actually does react to you saying, you know, it's the Empire, it's this or that, and he kind of, not interrupts you, but over the end of that says, no Empire. Griefka. This is very much something in his language, and you can see him, like, puzzling out how to say it in basic, and it's not coming to him. And so he just repeats himself again. Griefka.
Hey, Harani, can you, you still got a comm on you? Maybe we can get, Mr. Peanut to translate.
We could try. I don't know if Mr. Peanut's going to recognize that weird, bald language, but let's give it a try.
The bald language.
She's going to get into communication with Mr. Peanut, which, luckily enough, I have him right here. And,
wow.
Mr. Peanut.
Cody didn't know about the Mr. Peanut?
I didn't, but I do now, and it's wonderful.
Yeah.
I do enjoy it, so.
That's a custom peanut right there.
Yeah. I like it.
But yeah, she'll if she can, she'll get in contact with him and, you know, ask, relay that word and see if he knows what the hell they're talking about.
The moment that the Comlink connection opens, for the record, as soon as he has any communication with you,
freak out.
Peanut is very much like first, elated to hear your voice, to know that you're still alive. And then secondly, has many questions about the Duros that showed up about an hour ago.
Oh, yeah.
Is he doing a good job? Is he doing okay?
Well, he's doing a job. Yes, he's basically what it comes across as is like he's like a little overzealous. It's not that he's prying or getting into anything he shouldn't have. It's just this CJO is just everywhere you want to be. Like he's scrubbing the floors at this point just to clean the place up.
I'm gonna also tell Bainlin to keep an eye on him. Just thank you, Bainlin. I love you, old man.
I don't think I've had to do that one yet.
No, you haven't.
Oh, no, I dug it. I dug it a lot.
I'm surprised the microphone picked it up. Oh, you're talking about that the hair dryer that goes, ooh. All right, so yeah. Really so, Peanut. Griefka.
Griefka.
Graffiti.
You're used to him saying processing and then immediately following it up with, this is what that means. And you hear processing. Processing. No match found.
Son of a bitch.
Staten Island, baby!
Yeah, he reports back very sadly, you know, man, are you sure you heard it correctly?
I don't know. I just woke up. Did I hear that correctly?
Yes.
Bruce Cog's going to give a nod.
Apparently so.
You hear him move away from the comlink and go through the same process again. Processing. Processing. No match found. And he comes back and says, I'm fluent in over 6 million forms of communication. I do not recognize this word. Not from any current language. And from any dead language, it can't possibly match what you're talking about.
Bruce Cog's going to quickly pop up and say, well, this creature does say he comes from the inside of a planet, so a known language is probably a little off track.
He says there are some broken variations of it, most of which refer to the word devour, and that's all he's got.
Okay, so we have a world devourer. Okay, well, thanks. Thank you, Mr. Peanut. Keep the ship...
But ma'am, could you please, and it just gets cut off.
Well, there's CJO touching something.
That was money well spent on those droids.
I mean, they've been really helpful until now.
I'm gonna look at Sprainard or Raynard. God damn it.
You did that to yourself.
Yeah.
Yep.
Also, his name is Renard.
Oh, yeah. Well, no, we kept saying Sprainard so much, I can't get it out of my head. Renard.
Because it's French for fox.
Yes.
I mean.
Yes. Ask him if he knows anything about this. Has he ever seen a creature like this? Does that word ring a bell? Does he know anything about the mining on this planet? Hunter left. Hunter doesn't want to hear it anymore.
No, I'm here. Okay.
That's it. Just as he.
Sorry. My nose is dripping like a faucet, and I don't want to keep digging in it on the freaking screen.
As cleaner, you know, with his imperial knowledge, is this anything the Empire has ever run across before? This isn't Prakoth.
Yeah, but not that he's aware of. Prakoth was very much off the record. This is. You're in Dark Ops territory at this point. These guys are not broadcasting what they're doing to the galaxy at large. Remember, the Inquisitors are, for the most part... I was going to have you make a knowledge check, but I'm just going to tell you. The Inquisitors are, for the most part, not even confirmed in most of the core worlds. Like, they're not treated as a real thing. This is right at the edge of the Empire bridging with the Sith. I mean, you remember, years, not too many years from now, in the next 20 to 30 years from where you guys are in this campaign, people will think that the Sith and the Jedi are wizard and sorcery. So, this is very much
hell of a PR job there to convince people that things didn't exist.
Yeah, so this is very much a case of, you know, he only... just now, as you guys have, has really come to learn that the Inquisitorius is exactly what it's rumored to be. This is not something that has ever come across his desk. Not his wheelhouse.
Well, Harani's just going to go with the most basic possible. She's just going to look at Herb and say, and just do this and say, show us. Show us.
For
I was going to say, I want to see, has this, gentleman, I don't know, I'm trying to figure out how to describe him. Does he look like somebody who's malnourished, someone who needs food?
Does he look like a bitch?
That's where my mind went to.
Not necessarily, but I mean, over the course of the conversation, it becomes clear that he's probably been here for a couple of days, just kind of darting in and out of the shadows. If he's ever asked directly how long he's been in Prac City, his only way of responding is "since I arrived." So he doesn't really know how to explain that, how exactly long it's been. Malnourished is probably a little strong, but he certainly could eat.
Well, you know, I wouldn't mind offering him some kind of food, but in so doing, I'm going to, use the force to, you know, take a plate of food or take just an item of food to him and ask him if he sees anybody with any inabilities like this around.
That startles him, for the record, and he goes like crab walking back into the corner, like he scuttles backward away from it. That startles him.
Put your goddamn magic away.
Speaks several things in whatever his language is, and has no way of translating them into basic. But his eyes go wide. He's not horrified, but he's concerned.
The question is it concern because he's never seen somebody do this before, or he's only seen evil people do things like this?
Unclear.
I would like, I'd like to try to slowly approach him, and not so much approach him, but like get closer to let him and try to relay that, you know, I am a friend. I'm not here to hurt him, and just maybe grab whatever food I was levitating towards him and it with my hand and actually hand it to him as like a peace offering.
You need a persuasion check for that at this point.
I guess I should pull roll 20 up.
Yeah, Shannon, God.
Shannon, do Chad.
No, I'm not going to do Chad. It takes two people to do... Fine, you want to do Chad? All right, fine.
Just do Chad, man.
Fine. Okay.
Yeah!
I love that bit so much.
Say the line, Bart. That's pretty much what that was.
You say persuasion?
Yeah. Can't tell. So this cup is made to kind of get the shit kicked out of it. I can't tell if this is something that got on it and I never got off of it, or if it's just scuffed.
I was in one of those kind of like coated metal ones.
Doesn't like that. Yeah. 30,
yeah.
29.
29?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's enough to calm him down. He'll like hesitantly take, and I'm assuming let's just hand wave it and say it's like some kind of very basic like bread or something like that, or like a fruit. Yeah. And he'll like hesitantly take it. He keeps his eye on you the whole time as he kind of like slowly tastes it and then starts to eat a little more regularly. I don't know why it was corn on the cob in my hands. I don't know why I went to that. Probably because, as an aside, my niece who is 2 just finally started saying some actual words. We got a video earlier from my sister-in-law where she goes, "Say cheese." And you finally hear, she's been just making noises for years now, and you hear it just go,
"Jeez."
Like, it's the littlest, like, it was adorable. It was killing me.
So
the answer is he's eating cornbread.
Yeah, that'll fix it. It's cornbread.
All right, so now that I've got him
on the cob.
Now that I've got a little bit more trust from him, I'm going to, you know, try to reassure him, speaking slowly, but not in an insulting way, you know, that I'm here to help. I want to be able to help you, but I need to know, have you witnessed anybody be able to do things like this before, besides me?
As you mentioned that you're here to help, like, before you fully finish out that sentence, a robotic, "I will help, I will help."
We hadn't woken up the boy yet.
Groz is, like, awake, and he, like, is sleepily slapping at his translator. "I will help, I will help."
Better what we could have expected. He could have woke up screaming to somebody with authority.
Heard Tui looks over at him.
Oh, crap.
Groz looks at him. And Groz, like, he does that thing where instead of standing up, he just kind of rolls off the couch and kind of just lands as he lands. And just sort of carpets his way over to where Tui is, to where eventually they're sitting, like, face-to-face on the floor. And Groz just keeps looking at him and going... He just pulls at his own fur.
It's
if I had his finger, like, reaches out, in danger.
He kind of reaches out to her and to Weed to do it, and they kind of, at the same time now, they're like, one of them's plucking at one skin, the other one's plucking at the other one's fur. And then they back off, and it's like a, okay. All right.
Like, it's...
And then Gras is like, just casually rolls away.
I turn around and look at everybody and go, what the hell just happened?
I like to imagine...
I just saw one of those HoloNet animal documentaries.
I like to think it's like Chappelle's Show.
David Attenborough in the background.
It's Chappelle's Show when Buck Nasty sees his ancestor.
Yeah.
You know?
It's the same concept, yeah. Yes. What a time, Hades.
Came back through time to call you a cracker.
It's a racial epithet.
Careful, man. That'll get you banned from Twitch, apparently.
Yeah,
using the term cracker. Get out of here. Sorry.
So anyway, Sigurd, what exactly was your question? He heard it, but I wanted to get that little interaction in.
No, I just basically I was just trying to let him know, I'm here to help you. I just, one of the things I need to know is if you've ever seen anybody on this planet able to do the things like I just did.
He starts like kind of shaking his head, no, and then he opens his mouth to respond, and in that same moment you hear like the sound of a hover jet kind of coming to a slow crawl up above you. A huge spotlight slams on above you, and it's like shining directly down into the holes in the more or less fabric roof of this little hovel of Cijo's. You hear a like mechanical or robotic halt come over the intercom from whatever's up above you. It continues. You there. Halt on the command of the Inquisitorius.
Here we go again.
At that, Herdsweet looks at you, eyes wide, and bolts. Bolts out the door. And I mean, he's moving fast. What would you like to do?
Let's bolt after him. You guys want to bolt?
The only choice we got left.
Yeah.
I mean, we can't help him if we don't know where he is.
Mm-hmm. I'm thinking.
Also, it's going to, wherever he's going is not under the Inquisitorius. So that's even better. That's a bonus. Inquisitorius. Did I say that right?
Yes.
Okay, yes. Good.
Yes.
Good. Good.
Excuse me. Okay. As you guys get up and sort of run to the open doorway, first of all, you can hear that that jump jet, that hovering, like a much louder engine above you. The spotlight significantly brighter. You like looking up, you can't see past it. Basically, looking up would be like looking into a stage light, so you can't tell what exactly it's coming from. Hertui is booking it down the alley, and he looks back to you and starts waving his hand for you to follow him.
And we are.
Yep, got no reason to doubt him. Let's do this.
Okay.
Let's book it.
All right. So, I'm not going to make you roll initiative for this or anything, but what I am going to need are a few different kind of checks. This is going to be like a skill test of you basically running from the Inquisitorius or whoever this is that's working on their behalf and trying to outrun them. So, to start, I am going to need everyone to make either, I'll give you a choice, an endurance or an acrobatics check.
Acrobatics.
Man, I'm not.
I am trained in that.
I ain't good in either one, but.
So basically, this is going to be your initial just all out sprint and move. Those of you that are going more acrobatics, it's more about using the things in between the buildings to your leverage. Kind of
parkour.
Off of some stuff. Yeah, kind of. I mean, it's not quite parkour, but that's a good analogy for it.
I mean, is it Michael endurance Scott doing parkour?
No. endurance is more about full-out sprint. And, like, if something gets in your way, just kind of, shoulder tackling and move on. For the record, that's what Gras is doing. Gras is actually, I think, trained in endurance.
I can see that.
Yes, he is. He has a plus 17 to endurance. Good. So, yeah.
That's what I have in acrobatics.
We're going to have him do that.
17 in endurance for me is what I rolled.
20 in
total?
20 acrobatics.
Okay.
Yeah, 17 total.
23 acrobatics total.
Okay.
30 acrobatics.
Okay. At present time, Sigurd is either the most caught off guard or something trips, stumbles him up. Sigurd is sort of in the back of the line. So everyone's, for the most part, pretty safe, but Sigurd, you are, like, right in the spotlight as you hear the whine of, like, a blaster start up, and something fires down from within that spotlight. What's your reflex?
34.
Okay. Sorry. That is going to be just enough to tag you.
Can I use my block of deflect?
Not if you don't have your lightsaber active. It's got to be activated for you to utilize that. So
he's gonna miss, Tanner. Don't worry.
Quick.
Call him a shot. He's gonna roll a four.
Roll a 14.
Is that damage?
Yep.
Okay.
Yes, it is. Okay. Hurtwee continues basically calling you on. He is at this point almost galloping, basically. Like the straight up run eventually turns into him using his arms to propel himself forward. It's far more animalistic than human than you might have expected, because he is, again, he's about like a Wookiee. But he's booking it. Toward the end of the location where he is taking you, basically, there is a short wall, human height anyway, about a 6 foot wall. That he, like, goes up into the corner of and sort of vaults over. To continue down that track, which appears to be the only way, I will need you to make either a climb or a jump check.
Ooh, good. I'm bad at both of those.
Can I do just persuasion?
It's the same either way.
Can I persuade the wall
to let me go up?
Oh, you know what? I forgot. Hang on. Those are actually the same thing. Climb and jump are the same thing.
No.
So let's make it climb or acrobatics.
Okay.
Well, and I'm redoing that because I'm doing acrobatics, darn you.
That's fine.
Whoa, don't cuss out our DM.
She said darn, it's fine.
Okay, a 20, dirty 20.
15. Someone's fallen.
Mm.
Hey, can I use that?
Is it climb or acrobatics?
Acrobatics.
Okay.
Can we use force points on this?
Yeah, it's a skill check.
All right, 20 in acrobatics.
Yeah, I'm gonna use I'm gonna use a skill point.
I'm picturing Harani just point? Yelling the Hulk Hogan promo. It's the wall, brother.
Yappapai.
Yappapai.
Is it 3d6, right?
26. Mm-hmm. Yep. 3d6 to take the highest.
All right.
Hey, there's six.
21.
Tuesday.
There you go. All right. For a split second there, it looks like Harani is not quite going to make it over the wall. And Renard actually turns around at the last second, grabs her by the arm, and hauls her over the wall just as another spool of that blaster fire comes up and it pelts into the wall on the other side. In fact, a couple of them bounce through. The bolts come all the way through the material holding it together. Erdwee keeps calling for you to haul on one last big push to get through to where he's trying to take you. At this point, you can tell that he's actually actively moving toward construction sites, just for the record. He's trying to get away from the city area, which is not too much farther. I mean, this stuff has really pushed in pretty hard at this point. So one last one, the area down which he is leading you, as he vaults over a particular section of it, crumbles underneath. There's a bit of a pit where some sort of a drilling mechanism scored the area, and now you do have to make a jump check. Everybody has to make a jump check, because you're going to have to leap this 10-foot section.
Ready. 20
plus 7. Oh, no!
Oh, no! Well, once again, for the record, you cannot crit fail a skill check.
I'm using
Fuck a Lindsay.
I'm definitely using a force point here.
Force point, homeboy. It's going to be a destiny point, because I can't imagine a 14 is going to get me anywhere.
Well, Roz is good. Iris is good.
The rest of us are not good.
What do we got? An 8, a 13, and a 13?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can use force points, destiny points, whatever you want.
Yeah, I guess we're using force. Let's do 3d8s.
17.
A force point? Yep. Is that Sigurd using a force point?
Yeah.
I think it's a ton better. It's literally a 15. 8 plus 7.
I'll stick with my 13. I'm just going to take the damage. All
right, so what are our final totals?
15 for me.
Okay.
17.
Okay.
13.
Okay. I'm going to make this a little easier. So, yeah, the thing spools up again. Basically, Iris and Groz both turn around to start trying to pull people out. Renard as well. Let's see. Let me do it like this. Do it like this. Sigurd, Kruskog, you both take 14 damage. Not from any blaster bolts or anything. Basically, you slam into the side wall in that jump. But the other two manage to grab you and pull you out. It's just you take some what's effectively falling damage.
Right.
Hirani, on the other hand, you're dead last in the crew at this point in time. And so as those blasters spool up again, they tag you for 16 damage.
Okay.
Renard at the last minute manages to get a hold of you. He actually takes a little bit of some carbon scoring on the arm. No devastation, no injury. But he prevents the brunt of the damage from that.
That sucks. I don't have a lot of hit points as it is, and that already puts me at 69 hit points.
He said it.
Wait, say that again?
It's 69.
He said what? How many?
69 hit points, Porg.
Hit points, huh?
Hit points! Oh.
He said he's got to go to the group chat really quick.
I don't have my phone on me. I can't look. I have to check later.
Hang on.
Oh, my.
All right, there we go. That's done. Okay. All right. So, anyway, yeah, that last little push is bad news. Hertwee himself, as a matter of fact, doubles back just long enough to basically hustle everybody forward. When he kind of gets into the open area, you can see that he has brought you into a full-on construction site. He calls you one last time, and then it seems like he just disappears. Whatever is hovering overhead and trying to keep track of you ends up having to go through like a canopy of the construction site, and the spotlight loses you just long enough for everyone to kind of scatter into the darkness. I need everybody to make me a stealth check, please.
Oh, God bless it. Man, you are...
This one I'm okay with.
Oh, well, my stealth is a little better. I wrote a minus one instead of a plus one.
Groz is invisible. I don't know why, but...
31.
Hey, we can be stealth buddies. He rolled the same number.
Ronnie ain't. I mean, it's a 16, though.
Ronnie rolled a 1, so 16.
Yeah.
26.
23.
Ronnie, you got a one last force point left. You want to use it? I'm not saying you need to. I'm just asking before we get into the results of this.
You'll get them back in the morning.
They're per day, for the record, so you do get them back when you...
Yeah, that's fine. I'm going to regret it, but I'll probably regret it either way. Now...
Go for it.
Now, from Christmas, what I really want is to roll 3 ones right here. Let's see what happens.
For irony?
Are you saying that because you never get what you want for Christmas?
I got a 4, so 20.
That's exactly what you needed. The goal here almost every time has been 20, so you're good. At the last second, where it looks like you might be, again, you know, sticking out just a little bit, this time you assume it's going to be Renard who pulls your fat out of the fire. It's Groz. Groz actually leans forward because the spotlight is coming through and, like, grabs you and pretty much just pulls you into his fur.
Oh, hey.
And because he is so dark against that background, the spotlight goes by and nothing is seen.
Oh, hey, buddy.
Is this what the inside of the tauntaun feels like?
I thought they smelled bad on the outside.
You thought they smelled bad on the outside. as the ship seems to lose the immediate... As the ship loses its seeming sight of you, you can hear them calling out over the intercoms, you know, get on the ground. Check that entire site now. Looking over to where Hertui was, you see him like almost like Spider-Man jump and drop into something. And he disappears from sight. In the, he's about, you know, 50 yards away from you.
Sigurd will take off running in that direction.
Okay.
And follow him. Leap of faith style.
Okay.
Good boy.
If I die...
Well,
I
won't narrate this for anybody else. I'll come back to that. Sigurd leaps, jumps, and disappears from the sight of everyone else as well. I'll come back to you.
I mean, for lack of a better option, I don't know if Kruskov's diving in, but he's running that way.
Okay.
You know how long it took me to get this Isla Secura figure? I searched for this thing for so long before I finally found it. Anyway.
Okay, but what's Harani doing?
Story again.
Why, what are we doing? What's happening?
Leap of faith.
Sigurd
has jumped. Kruskog currently is just kind of looking over the edge like, oh shit.
I'm like right
okay,
there
so
with you.
So Kruskog is actually there but hasn't jumped in.
Yeah.
Same.
All right,
yeah,
those of you who have not just move up on that. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is what we're doing? All right. Those of you who have not jumped in, now as you reach where your compatriot and this newcomer have, you can see that this is probably what people have been referring to as one of the drains. A borehole that's drilled at about an 80-degree angle down through the rock. You can actually hear Hertui as he is, like, moving along through it like a distant holler, like, huh? Almost like a slide call, though. Like, he's, like... It doesn't sound like it's bad news or anything,
right?
But he is sort of like yelling as he slides down, more or
he's
less.
He's enjoying the trip.
Super fun, happy slide.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, Sigurd, you are sliding for your life. It's not a terribly long slide, like surprisingly, but it's a pretty sharp angle, and you do have to occasionally kind of steady yourself to slow yourself down as you're making your way through there. I will let you. Make I'll let you make your choice of acrobatics or an endurance check to procure a safe landing.
Acrobatics it is.
Okay,
wait, because there was something I was going to try to do while sliding down to help myself, but I need to run it by you. Well, my goal was, if I was sliding, to whip out the lightsaber and stick it in the ground and try to slow myself down.
It don't work that way, Chief. It would just cut.
Right, yeah. Like, it's not gonna have a part anywhere.
It's not a sword. There's no physical.
Does the lightsaber cut through rock like that? I don't know.
Cuts through everything. It's a lightsaber.
Yeah.
Yeah, at the very least, it wouldn't have any resistance. I mean, it either does or it doesn't. There wouldn't be any, like, halfway.
Unless this
it only resists another saber or a vibro equipment.
Unless this pipe is made of vibro blade or gundanium or adamantium.
Oh, and it's no pipe, because they've already removed the drill, so this is rock. This is basically a smooth board hole.
25.
Did you say 25? Okay. Yeah. I mean, you can do it. I was going to give you a superhero landing, man. I was going to give you the, you know, kind of tumble, but at the end you do the tuck and roll and then come up.
I'm not a poser.
All right, Yelena. Yeah, okay, then you land however you want. That's fine. But yeah, you come to a safe landing. We'll come back to you.
I just come to say, weenie!
Upon hearing in the distance the seemingly happy-ish sounds coming from this tunnel... Kruskal's going to look back, kind of shrug at everybody, and jump in.
Okay. Again, I will need an acrobatics or an endurance check for you.
Acrobatics. Don't fail me now. Hey, 32. And I, if given the option, will take that superhero landing, because Kruskal never gets to do anything that cool.
Yeah, it's full-on Spider-Man dab on the hater style. Like, it's a whole thing.
I'm going to suggest to Graz, hey, you go first, and then you catch me when I fall, inevitably.
Graz gives you the, and he gets kind of like the cross arm slide.
There you go, right.
And he dives in. I'm going to give him endurance. His goal is more about just landing in a way that doesn't hurt him, even though it looks painful. Oh, yeah, he's good. Pretty much he dives in that way, and at the last minute kind of like intends to do like a flip onto his back, just kind of lands flat, like a bump. He's like a wrestling bump, basically.
Okay.
Lands flat like that, turns around and waits for the next person.
Which is me, and I was dead serious when I told him to catch me when I fall, because I'm going to fall. I'm going to do acrobatics.
Okay.
She's got to be nimble like a minx at some point. Let this be the point.
Hey, it's not bad. I'm rolling like crazy tonight. Yeah, that's good. Plenty enough that basically when you come through, Graz does that like kind of catch and carry through. Like he spins around and then kind of deposits you on your feet.
Hey, thanks, buddy. That's you're two safe. I owe you.
I don't like it.
You know enough Wookie at this point to know that what he said was something akin to, that's more than two.
Is it the cat girl's turn?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's all we got left.
I am still going to hesitate for a Renard moment.
Renard came down with you.
Yeah.
And just
he's always good at
take
everything.
A breath and go.
Hey, she's a cat person. They
the only one left.
Yeah, but you
and,
remember,
and for the record,
Iris
as,
is afraid of heights, though.
As the last one on the ground up there, you can now hear, like, you know, boots to the floor, boots to the ground coming in that area. Troopers are, or something is moving in.
26.
So it's time to go. Yeah, you're good. You kind of come to that same sort of tuck and roll pose, roll into Graz, but it's like rolling into, if you took like a shag carpet and put it on the wall, that's what it's like landing against. It's the same concept. It's just nice and fluffy. In the immediate vicinity, it is extremely dark. So it's not really clear and what's going on outside of your, like, you can see the people around you, because it was pretty dark up top, too, but there was enough city light to give you something. You can see the people around you, but that's about it.
Figured,
would you like to do something there?
I would like to whip it out.
Okay. Your saber ignites, and that's where we're going to call it for tonight.
Oh, damn it. Harani was going to ignite hers, too. That's fine.
That's fine. All of your sabers ignite.
We all have sabers now.
Everyone, buddy, who has a saber.
Or a glow rod. It ignites, and that's where we're going to call it.
You guys are battling.
Right.
I'm just over here raving.
I kept, like, I imagine Graz.
Kids under the bridge doing, like, the.
I imagine Graz trying to go down the drain. And immediately I pictured John Panette talking about the water slide. Just
he like a free weary.
He's a free weary.
As long as he doesn't do the flapping dicky bit.
Oh.
It'll be all right. Wassail.
Jesus Christ.
All right, guys, as always, thank you so much for joining us. You don't know it because you may not hear this until later, but this is basically, again, this is our Christmas special, as you heard back at the beginning of this.
This, this is going to go up. What is today, Monday?
Yeah.
It's Tuesday.
Oh, is it Tuesday? Okay. This will go up tomorrow. I'll get the last episode up tonight, and then this one will be up tomorrow, and then Thursday or Friday. No, Thursday or Saturday we'll have our special.
Nope. Saturday is Christmas Day.
So yep. Thursday we'll have some kind of small get together here online. Nothing major. Just get together. We can knock back a few drinks. We'll do some comedy. We'll do some yuck. And we got some writing to do. We'll spend some Christmas time together.
Don't forget about next week too. Next week, the weekend or the year in review.
It's the wrap up.
Because that's it.
Yeah, that's it. That's the last show.
Spotify wrap.
And that is when we tell you about all the changes coming to the show. So there it is.
That's what we're gonna do.
Yeah.
All right, guys. As always, again, thank you so much for joining us. If you are behind, go back and catch up. Podzilla1985.com for all the previous episodes in the Dawn of Defiance campaign. When you hear from us next, we will continue Episode 9, The Sword of the Empire. But until then, for Shannon, for Lindsay, for Tanner, and for Cody, I am your Game Master, Double H. May the Force be with you. Merry Christmas, and we'll see you later.